It is December 22nd, 2018. This is Fancy Ramen. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
Happy holidays. Oh, I'm Scott.
Way to date us, Scott.
We just gave the date.
Well, this is our pre-Christmas special where we're going to talk about what we want for Christmas.
Before we unwrap those big gifts and find out what we didn't get.
Woot.
Before that, what have you guys been up to this week?
Working mostly. I ended up buying some games with the Switch coins that I've been accumulating over the year. Ended up getting a game called Peace Death. It's kind of like a pseudo Papers, Please, where you are a poor Grim Reaper working for Death, Petulance, the other Horseman of Apocalypse, and the last Horseman of Apocalypse. Plague? No, that's Petulance. Either way. And basically the goal of the game is to either send... It starts off with all demons go to hell, all humans go to heaven. Then it goes, the devil's actually given humans his powers, so any human with horns, because he has got the devil's powers, goes to hell as well. And then it kind of continues from there, like, anyone with a weapon, or if they have blood near them or around them, which means they've done something, then it brings in a new challenge of, if you can take away the weapons and blood and things, that means they can go to purgatory. So it's kind of a different take on Papers, Please. It's got the same kind of feel to it, where as people are coming in, they'll say things to you, and then you've got to just choose correctly.
So Papers, Please has this whole timed mechanic to it, where like the fewer, like you only have a given work day, and the fewer people you get through your doors, the less money you make. Does Peace Death also have some sort of timed mechanic, or can you play it at your leisure?
Also has a time mechanic.
Plus, your mistakes last for an eternity.
Oh.
Yep. So if you send too many people to heaven, the elevator to heaven breaks.
And the Jehovah's Witnesses were right all along.
Pretty much.
Do you kind of feel like Death Parade?
Oh. No. I guess we have conflicting opinions about that. Just the elevator thing, I think, specifically.
Oh, I could see that. But no, I don't feel like Death Parade.
So do you come across points in time where, like, bear with me, these are fake numbers, but let's say you could only fit four people on the elevator to heaven at a given point in time or a given day. Do you ever come across points where, like, you feel conflicted because you've already granted four people permission to heaven, and then the fifth person is just like a fucking saint in every stretch of the imagination and word, and you want to, but now that you have overfit the elevator, you're basically faced with the shitty decision of having to condemn them or put them in purgatory?
Good news. This game doesn't have that mechanic so far.
Do you mean the fit people in the elevator mechanic?
Yeah, it's quite literally just one person comes in, they're either going to heaven, hell, or purgatory. Next person comes in, etc.
Oh, so what's up with the explanation that you can only fit so many people in the elevator?
No, so basically if you put the wrong people on the wrong elevator too many times, the elevator will actually break down.
Oh, okay, I see.
And then, like, at the beginning of your day, in Papers, Please, you know how you had to pay your bills, feed your family, and etc. This one's, at the beginning of your day, you can buy favors with one of the Horsemen of the Apocalypse, or you can buy, like, repair tokens to kind of forgive mistakes that you might make. And then there are like little nice little nods to world events. So kind of like in Papers, Please, when they had like the terrorist bombings and things like that. This one's got one of the world events that I saw. Death was talking about, oh, we're in the point of time in the human race where the colonists have gone to Native America and they decided to wipe out the Indians by spreading blankets with smallpox.
And nobody white got into heaven ever again.
Pretty much. And they were like, we can either help the Indians by building up a good immunity and this will give us less work, or, you know, we can not intervene. Which one do you want to do? It's going to cost you money to help intervene.
Oh, so you actually have an effect on the living world, too. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's like, oh, there's a space invasion. We can either fund the rebellion to keep the casualties. We can fund the rebellion to make the casualties high, or we can not fund the rebellion so that way there aren't that many people that are going to die.
They're just subjugated by aliens?
Pretty much. It's just like, so what are you going to do?
Do you have to start judging the aliens, too?
As of right now, I haven't had to judge any aliens, but I've
loophole.
Gone... What?
There's a loophole there. The aliens can't be judged. The aliens are beyond death or God or whatever.
That's what you think, so far at least.
Maybe you're an alien doing the judgment. I'm finding out here now that if you're not choosing the eternity for all sentient life, you're pretty much unimportant.
Wow, that was deep. But yeah, besides playing that and kind of exploring the Switch catalog recently, just getting prepped for Christmas. That's what the week's been. And work. So pretty boring. Sorry, I got excited and talked about video games first.
Nah, that's fine. That is
That's
fine.
What this is all about.
This is the episode of forgiveness, okay?
Oh, thank you,
forgiveness.
Jesus.
Forgiveness.
So did you put Cookie on the up or down elevator?
Depends. Who was with him?
You're like, take the stairs, get out of here. I mean, I don't know who was with him. I assume alone.
I also assume alone.
I wouldn't want you... Would you ever want to judge people within groups? Like, what's the chance that you get a group of awesome people, but you get one bad apple, and you're like, this guy's just going to fuck up the whole system. I got to ban all of you.
Well, no, it's more of a reference to Death Parade, how a lot of the characters in that end up going in pairs.
It's a one-on-one kind of determination between the... Except I cannot remember from when I watched it if... Is it true that sometimes both people can go up or both people can go down?
Yep, that is indeed true.
Okay.
It's kind of a twist because there's a situation.
Handle the situation within grace.
Yeah, there's a specific episode where, like, leading up to it, you have not seen that instance happen. And
you've always seen a split, yeah.
Yep, and you see these two characters that are both equally deserving of forgiveness or however you want to attribute it. So... It seems like there's going to, like, you know, you're feeling like extremely nervous watching whatever the butler's name is. Wait, yeah, you did watch this, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we had an omake about this.
Yeah, I'm pretty.
I believe we did.
That was a pretty good anime.
I really enjoyed it a lot.
And then they mused about making a sequel, and it never happened. Maybe it's still happening. I don't know. While we're on the topic, Scott, have you been playing any video games?
Oh, yeah. I've played plenty of video games. I've played a lot of Smash. Have I played anything else? I've played some League. I'm enjoying the Winter League map because it's easier on my eyeballs with everything being a little paler in the background. I can see stuff better. But if you want to hear about what else I've been up to during my week, I wouldn't...
Go ahead.
Say no to that opportunity. Okay. I went and saw a movie with Sierra, I believe it was last weekend, right after we recorded the podcast, called The Favorite. I don't know if you guys have heard or seen anything about this. It is by the director Yorgos Lanthimos. He's also done The Lobster, which was a movie that I found so difficult to watch that I actually quit in the middle of. And what else has he done? Killing of a Sacred Deer and a couple other movies that I have never seen. But The Favorite was actually a pretty spectacular film. I enjoyed it a lot. The basic premise is that it's like 18th century England, 17th, I don't know exactly. and Queen Anne occupies the throne, and her closest confidant, best friend, whatnot, Lady Sarah, kind of governs the country in her stead. It's very much the 18th century version of the Christian Bale movie that's coming out, Vice, about Dick Cheney and George W., where
I've heard about that.
Yeah, the figurehead in power is ultimately kind of a blustering idiot, and the person who's actually doing all of the work, the cold-hearted political calculations, is the person on the sidelines. I think it's Lady Mulberry. Maybe. I can't remember exactly, but they go by Anne and Sarah interchangeably throughout the film. It's a very good film. The wrench that gets thrown into it to add any sort of like plot or conflict is a... I don't know if she's necessarily disgraced, but a lady who falls from her position of ladyhood into a servant's position, Emma Stone's character, Abigail, kind of inserts herself between the friendship of the queen and her confidant, Sarah. And it becomes this power struggle in which there's the juxtaposition of the queen as an idiot, her power being sort of absolute within the time and period of the country, where whatever she says goes, there's really no argument against it. She is the ultimate decider. But the two people with any sort of brains, Abigail and Lady Sarah, are essentially like vying for the favoritism of Queen Anne in order to like wield some of that ancillary power against one another to ultimately like remain on top. Besides the acting and the actual like plot being very entertaining and just all around, I think, a really cool movie to see, it also has some really interesting cinematography that I haven't seen in like palatial settings. I don't know if I've really seen anything quite like it. He has an extreme like favoritism to using fisheye lenses in all of these like cramped castle halls that both like draw in the decadence of the scenes with just how beautiful these settings are, but also almost make these like tight cramped quarters that you already know are somewhat like small in comparison to, I would say, like the type of shots we normally see in film, where it is like at one end of a hallway or through a window, and in some way to give the areas like more volume or space. These fisheye lenses do this like dual concept of both opening up your vision of the room and also like demonstrating sort of how claustrophobic the palace can seem. Really excellent film. I enjoyed it a whole bunch. I would recommend either of you guys to see it if you're just movie people in general, which I kind of know you are. That being said, I still think I'm going to go see Into the Spider-Verse pretty soon, and we'll probably be more enamored by the comic book superhero film than this, I think, a little more amusing artsy film that I saw last weekend. I do have to say, it is also very funny. I'm pitching it as though it's a drama, but it is much more in the vein of dramedy. It has absolutely some serious tones and notes. And I think the like overall thesis of the film when it's complete is very serious. But it's very, very funny too. Sierra and I were cracking up multiple times during the film.
I can dig it.
Yeah. But besides checking out the movies, we've made some mulled wine, which is quickly becoming one of my new favorite holiday drinks.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's so good. I got turned on mulled wine playing some League with Neil yesterday, actually, which was a real delight. What else? There was one other thing. Oh, yeah, I got my snowboard all tuned up. I think I spoke about that a little bit last week, but I'm finally going to get to hit the mountain this weekend. I'm going to go where the snow goes and finally get some snowboarding in this season. So I'm looking forward to that. Neil, what about you? You finally recovered from being ill. I was actually sick for kind of Wednesday night into Friday.
Hate to break it to you, but I'm still kind of sick. So.
Oh, okay.
Not as bad as I was last week, but I've been conserving my energy, going to bed relatively early and things like that.
Well, you look great.
To our listeners out there, I look great. No, what have I been up to this week? The one thing I've been up to is not packing for my short holiday trip. Tomorrow we'll be taking a train around midnight to Denver, Colorado. Tiffany and myself.
A train?
Yeah, a train.
Holy cow. I didn't know train travel was still a viable option these days.
It's not. Yeah, but it's...
You could argue that it isn't, but since I have to... Well, two things. First one, I hate flying. I've come up with that notion, having to fly like 6 times over the last year. I dislike flying. I dislike the lines. I dislike everything about flying, with the exception of over ocean flying seems to be like the one exception, because that's a little more like a journey, if that makes sense.
Right.
And Neil doesn't mind taking his time getting to his destination.
Yeah, I mean, so the reason why I'm okay with this particular trip is because it's at night. So if I want, I'm able to sleep any place. That's like, if we all had unique abilities, my ability would be able to sleep anywhere at any given point in time, but especially effective at night. So I could just sleep through this entire trip. We'd wake up, or I'd wake up at like 7, and at 7:30 the train arrives at the train station, I guess.
Yeah.
Which the Denver train station has like a lot of cool things around it too. So they also just over the last couple of years renovated and redid a lot of the structures around it. So it's kind of a cool spectacle to see it.
Where does the train leave from? Does it leave from Omaha?
Yeah, it leaves from Omaha.
Really?
Have you not looked up where your local Amtrak is, Scott?
Boy, I have never ridden on a train ever.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I didn't. I honestly, I don't know why I thought the only mode of transportation via train anymore was either like luxury train in like the northern areas of the United States and Canada, or like hopping onto a train that's just loaded with all of those big like coal and shipping containers with your bindle.
They've got normal trains, Scott. I used to, since I didn't have a car back in college, to get to Omaha, I just took the train.
See, I thought train just became a colloquialism.
Yeah, just from Lincoln to Omaha, it's about a 3-hour trip, and it only left at one time, and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. It was real inconvenient. Real inconvenient.
If you left from Omaha to Lincoln, then it would be around like 11 p.m., right? And you'd get there around like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not super convenient, but I've always preferred like the train for a variety of reasons over plane. And sometimes like the reasons are not always great. Like the more relaxed atmosphere around, the ability to get up and move whenever you want. It's not like, it can be a bumpy ride depending on where you're at, but you don't have turbulence that then forces you to hold in your bladder or whatever for X
amount
of time.
Or be stuck next to a screaming child.
So even low seating is much more spacious in comparison to planes. You can still be stuck next to like smelly, talkative, or annoying personalities. But the benefit to traveling in a pair is that because these trains are always two seats, that guarantees you're not sitting next to a stranger that you don't particularly care for their company.
Presence.
Yeah, exactly.
Existence.
And another cool perk is that you can go to the observation car, which is even a little more spacious, and at the dead of night, you can go out there and actually see the stars, which, I mean, you could probably drive outside of our respective towns, like 15 minutes, look up, and actually see the full starlit sky, but it's not that I don't have time for that, but I never take the time to do that. So this is like one of the few times a year that if I want, I can go into the observation car when we're in between like the cities of Omaha and Colorado, just look up and see like a fully lit skyscape or a starscape, I guess you could say, which like, I don't know. As I've gotten older, I've started to become like more reminiscent of those types of things.
Man, I have got a video game for you.
What? Do tell.
Red Dead Redemption.
Oh. I mean, yeah.
Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But, you know, I don't think I've actually ever played that game at night. Or, I mean, been running around at night in that game, now that I think about it.
Oh, it's pretty.
Morgan is always, you know, always early to bed, early to rise type of guy for me. But yeah, I do have one video game related thing to say. I've been playing a lot more CrossCode, which is the kind of weird platformer, a 2D pixel platformer where you use your mouse to shoot projectiles, but you also have melee combat.
Yeah.
I didn't think that game was going to be anywhere near the top of my game of the year list a week ago. And now I'm really contemplating trying to just finish it so I can see if it takes like one, two, or three on the spot, because it's improved so much from the initial set couple of hours. And now I'm suddenly 18 hours in. I'm in love with the dungeons. I'm in love with the core gameplay mechanics. Like every battle, every boss battle is kind of like a mini puzzle. Every dungeon incorporates elements that remind me greatly of classic Zelda games, of like, even without giving you specific tools like hookshot or hammer, like it finds ways to introduce new mechanics to you through the game's identity, which is shooting balls, basically. And the game is very aware of itself too in that regard, because you're playing an MMO in the video game. You always have like other players in the world kind of making fun of the game, and not so much like a mean-spirited way or anything, but pointing out like some of the ridiculousness. So you never feel like you're playing something extremely contrived, because the game's aware of its shortcomings in that nature. But like I don't know how to describe it without going too deep into like the explanation behind the mechanics, but I'm surprisingly finding pieces of Chrono Trigger, Secret of Mana, Legend of Zelda, specifically Link to the Past and Ocarina of Time, all in one weird experience. And like, as someone that usually puts story above like almost every other category, it's interesting too, because I'm finding the game story to be like, fine, it's okay, it doesn't turn me off or anything, but it's actually the platforming in an over-the-top 2D game, the puzzle solving, the combat, that all I just find so much appreciation for, that makes me like really, really like this game. Like there's such an interestingly high skill cap for this game that otherwise seems so ridiculously simple. I think in my honeymoon phase with this game right now, despite still playing it, which is the interesting thing, or being in the midst of it.
It looked pretty good. It came up recommended to me on my Steam homepage or whatever, and I took a peek, and although it's normally not my thing, I at least found it interesting enough that I put it on a like watch list. Or did I put it on my wish list? All I know is that I normally wouldn't have given it more than just like a second glance, but then I saw the combat in it, and it just looks like there's also a very large amount of depth that's available to any player. Like there's a huge amount of complexity that's accessible, and maybe customizability. I don't know about that, but that's the impression I got from the like trailer for it. And with the couple of like glimpses they gave of the writing, it looked both humorous and very entertaining to play. So I hope that your honeymoon phase, I don't want to say doesn't fade, but I hope that as you progress further through this game, it really does like just stand out as kind of a diamond in the rough, because it does appear that way from what I've seen. It's also got, if I remember correctly, I don't have it up on Steam right now, it does have like an overwhelmingly positive, I think, reviewer rating from players in the game.
I wouldn't be surprised. It's not without faults, because it's an MMO.
The main character
or,
looks
know,
kind
a,
of
a game designed to feel like an MMO. There is like a ridiculous surplus of quests in that game, side quests, that quite frankly, as soon as I encounter it, I just start mashing my left mouse button to get through all the dialogue. And I'm like, oh, this is really realistic. It feels like every other MMO I've played.
That's what actually turned me off when I saw there was some sort of a bit on the trailer that was like dozens, hundreds, thousands of side quests. And I was like, no, I don't want to do this. It turned me away immediately.
I quite frankly accept all of them, and if I run into one, I'll end up doing it. And like, maybe I should open myself up more to those side quests, because the few I have done have been pretty interesting. Like, one, you have these fucking parrots that are dressed up as mafia goons holding Gatling guns, and they have hostages inside of this business building. And so, like, as simple as, like, it's relatively simple. All it was is that, like, at the start of each of these battles where they're holding hostages as, like, meat shields, you have to use your, you have to charge up your range attack, which allows your projectile to then ricochet. And you just have to ricochet and hit the parrots before they kill you, basically, because they'll you know, be attacking you while you're trying to free the hostages. And as soon as you hit one of the parrots once with one of your charged projectiles, it's like it stuns them momentarily and the person's able to get away. So that was fine. And it was ridiculous watching parrots, mafia parrots, holding Gatling guns.
How bullet hellish is the gameplay for this? Is it really like cluttered at times?
Like, it can get cluttered at times, especially when you're in some of those more like catered fights, but it's not a situation where like you have to dodge as much as possible and everything. Like, you can take that approach, but you also have a shield. So, and like, based on how you build your character, like there's not like a whole lot of non-linearity behind like the grid system, which is kind of similar to like Final Fantasy X. But you do have like specials. So like, you can choose between a projectile, which is just a single super strong projectile as a special, or like a flurry of bullets. And depending on what type of paths you choose there, there are other abilities or stat increases based on those routes. And even then, like in between battles or when you're out of battle, you're actually able to switch those conduits too, as they call it. So if I need to like switch my character to one where I have like a better shield or guard to get through something like that, you can. The regular combat's kind of just like whatever. It's fun. It's fine. It's more like the boss battles and the specific quest or story based battles that are like really well catered to like figuring out what the pattern and puzzle are behind that enemy or boss. And then there haven't been many, but there've been a few like duels so far, and with one specific character thus far, and those like have the added restriction that you can't use items. And then at that point, since you're playing against another quote-unquote player, like their patterns and mannerisms are completely different from any of the quote-unquote AI enemies in the game. Again though, like it's got its faults. It's just I think that the faults really don't bother me that much, because I'm like, again, for the whole quest thing, I'm the type of person that, like, if I don't find inherent value behind it, I am A-okay with just saying, nope, not for me, especially because it presents itself as, like, an MMO sort of side quest where it's like, this doesn't matter.
Right.
I can just skip it. Aside from that, though, I think that does it for me.
Cookie, what about you? Have you played anything in particular?
Aside from Peace Death, just more COD and some Pokemon and Smash.
Oh, how goes for Pokemon? You're talking about Let's Go Eevee?
Yeah.
How goes it? How's your team looking?
Pretty overpowered, and I'm basically just using Eevee Pikachu and the other starters. And then I've got a Ninetales in my group just because I like to ride on Ninetales.
Mm, I see. So you haven't added a Nidoking to your party yet?
No, and I probably won't.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I'm going to eventually beat the Elite Four. I can just one-shot everything with EVs, though, so it's like, eh.
And what level is your EV now?
That's a good question.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I was one-shotting pretty much everything after level, like, 30 that I ran into. They made this game real easy.
Interesting.
They made this game super easy, and the fact that Eevee's just always in my Pokeball as well, and I take that to work, and it's getting experience every time I walk around.
While you walk around, yeah, that's true.
And then it's like, oh, sweet, and it's also helping me out in Pokemon Go to spin Pokestops and whatnot, so that's giving it even more experience. So then I turn on Let's Go for a good 30-minute stint, unload Eevee, reload her back in, play Pokemon Go, and then I just go.
So it sounds like you've actually found your way into a pay-to-win scheme within a Nintendo game.
Higgs, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. That's what I've also been playing.
Oh, yeah.
Rockstar Games has the weirdest fucking character creation known to God.
Saints Row?
Yes. Well, in more of a realistic sense.
Okay.
I was not able to make a... I'm going to call all character creation games a default, you can make your character pretty, and you have to try to make them ugly.
Mm-hmm.
The character creation for Red Dead Redemption Online, I was just actively trying to make my character pretty and gave up. It just doesn't work.
They're just always
male or female. They're just always they look like they're from that time period.
What's interesting about that is that like Arthur is actually a pretty good looking dude, depending on how you how you manage his hair and facial hair in the game and bathe.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, it totally makes sense.
Handsome man.
Yeah, my character, her name is Clementine. She's got real bad teeth. She's kind of Asian, and she looks real bad.
Poor Clementine.
She's got like a scar from a broken nose, and I just kind of added that. But like, they're like, what kind of complexion do you want? There is sunburnt. There is sun-scorched. There is
riddled with smallpox.
Pretty much. And it just gets worse from there. And it's just like, is there like smooth skin? Nah, homie, I almost said the Midwest.
I mean, some parts of it are.
Exactly. Like, nah, homie, this is the Old West. So I haven't quite made it to the free roam section yet. But as soon as I do, I'm pretty sure I'll get hit with all the griefers. You should really join me at some point.
I know. It's a campaign of endurance, Cookie. You'll ultimately whittle me down as soon as I have like $50 that I just want to throw away to get PlayStation Plus.
Exactly. Who knew that it'd be super easy to convince you to join the family and get online?
Because that was, I think, $5 and it was also Smash. I've been preparing myself to pay for Nintendo Online for years now. Like before the Switch even came out, I was just like, the next Smash is going to be out on the next console, and I'm going to have to play it online, and I'm going to have to pay Nintendo for that service.
And you just knew.
It was my mantra every day. You must pay Nintendo. I need to stumble upon $50 free somewhere, because that's the only way I can like make it happen in my psyche. Or no good games need to come out within the next month that I spend my game budget on that instead.
Well, good news.
We're about to hit the slump. I know.
Actually, literally about to hit the slump.
It's not until, it's like March when the next round of new games really comes out.
Yeah. Oh, let me tell you that I am super, super excited for PAX. My
yeah, you got your tickets last week, you told us.
My brother and the guy I play Gloomhaven with.
Yeah.
We've been in like a chat group together because we're all going to PAX.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother sent us a picture of the fact that Capcom's going to be at PAX, PlayStation's going to be at PAX, and Bandai Namco's going to be at PAX.
Oh, hell yes.
So I'll be able to play Resident Evil 2, Devil May Cry 5. More excited for Devil May Cry than Resident Evil.
Is Sekiro going to be there?
I don't know yet, but we'll find out. I'm going to do everything in my power to actually, like, I'm going to bring a recorder and do impromptu interview type things. So we'll have content and shit from this. Also get to play Days Gone and Firewall.
Oh, okay. Days Gone looks interesting. It is the biker version of The Last of Us.
Yep. And I wasn't interested in it until they said I could play it for free.
And yeah, me too. I'm interested in most games I can play for free at my leisure.
And the Bandai Namco booth is the one I'm actually excited for. So I get to play Jump Force.
The
Shonen Jump beat 'em up.
I know, but you can only play as DBZ characters, right? It doesn't make sense that anyone else would be able to outfight them.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure if you've seen some of these Shonen Jump shows.
I've seen some Naruto.
Yeah, adult Naruto is kind of
beating up
badass.
Furries is already like in the Dragon Ball Z repertoire, so.
Pretty much. But no, they're having that in Ace Combat booth.
Hell yes. Oh my goodness. This is Ace Combat. Is it 7 now?
I believe so.
I'm pretty sure it's 7, because 6 is the last one I remember. I mean, ever since I was aware of the Ace Combat franchise, I've bought every game, and I've played every game. Not all of them have been good, but I have definitely
tried
to keep up.
Wait, is Ace Combat 7 not out yet?
I don't think it's out, no.
Oh, sweet. I'm even more excited.
And I'm also, I'm curious, I don't remember if the Ace Combat games are actually if they ever have had PC ports or not. But I would love to get like the joystick and throttle to do some real fighter jet stuff at the like PC area and not use a controller.
Holy shit, that would be awesome.
Yeah, my uncle used to do that with some flight sims. Like, he was super into it. Probably around the Ace Combat 4 and earlier era.
Because, yeah, Ace Combat was one of those weird fighting games me and my family used to play. So we'd have, huge parties just around, like, dogfights.
But you can only have two people playing, right?
Yep, and that was just fine. So it was like, all right.
The one-on-one dogfight is so much fun.
And the rule was, if you run out of like missiles and rockets and all those other things,
yeah,
we then start like a little timer so that you'd have 30 seconds. If you can't shoot down the other person with your machine gun, you lose, because then it just takes forever.
Yeah, because then they're just chasing you. Like, if they're on your tail the whole time, and they're out of ammo besides the machine gun, that's when it gets boring. That's a really good rule, I think.
Yeah, so it's just like, okay, you got a couple of seconds to defeat this person, or you just automatically forfeit because you can't continue combat.
Okay, that's a game that could also get me to play online quite a bit. There's nothing more fun than flying a jet.
Apparently, it releases January 18th, 2019. So,
ooh,
I will be playing this right before release. Nope, I'll be playing this right at release.
Yeah, it's also the perfect game for where I think VR is really valuable. Like, let's say you have your cockpit set up, because they often do have the joystick and like throttle controllers available for these types of games, or a third-party developer makes them, or a third-party manufacturer makes them, and I mean, you don't need it to be an extremely high quality controller to get the replication. But if you have the VR experience of sitting in a cockpit and like having those controls at the ready and playing in first person mode, I can only imagine how good that immersion's got to feel.
Oh, yeah. It's like, and I know that this is one of the, this game will have the VR mode, which kind of makes me sad that I don't have the PlayStation VR anymore now, actually. Shit.
But you will have VR again in the future.
Yeah, but...
but it won't be for PlayStation.
No, it will not. It will be pseudo PC Master Race VR, kind of.
You'll have to buy a really, really small tablet, play it on that, and then you'll have to sit in like a dining room chair while your wife like shakes it and rocks it in the directions that you're flying. Get that real experience. You put on your bike helmet so you can get that full sensation. What we were working into ultimately was talking about more of our like realistic Christmas expectations and hopes for this last period of the gaming calendar year, and then transitioning into kind of what we hope for, what our unrealistic Christmas expectations are. Pretty much, if the spirit of Christmas could grant you one wish, what would it be in the gaming world? Oh, and Neil returns with perfect timing.
With perfect timing.
If you've got it kind of down, you're more than welcome to take the reins. But otherwise, if you'd like an example, I have plenty of stuff queued up while you think of your answers.
I would love for you to go first, Scott.
Okay, fantastic. So I think we should format this in which we all give our realistic expectations and hopes, and then we follow up with the unrealistic kind of shoot the moon dreams. And so my realistic Christmas expectations and hopes, or at least things that I am looking forward to in the new year, is kind of the continuation of some game series that I've either really been into for a long time or have recently gotten into or been hyped into playing. And that is, I am very much looking forward to the release of Metroid Prime 4 in the new year. All I know right now is that there is an image for the title, and so that doesn't make me super hopeful that it's coming around in 2019, but this could be another release for, say, the like late October, early November portion of next year, where I will have a Metroid Prime game in my hands before the next Christmas in about 368 days or so. Secondly, I don't know when it's coming out, but the only, and I should say it lightly, like Bethesda property that I'm looking forward to in the new year that has any chance of coming out is Doom 2, or as I have on the docket, Doom. I had an absolute blast playing a like hectic high octane shooter that Doom 2016 was, and I can't wait to play the follow-up to that like critical success.
I completely forgot Bethesda made Doom and Dishonored.
They didn't make Doom, they didn't make Dishonored, they published
them. Yeah, they published these.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Dishonored is an Arkane Studios title that they developed. And let's see, to kind of round off my list, Sekiro should be coming out next year, I think, probably earlier in the season, like springtime. And around that same time, we should get to see the next Fire Emblem, which has, it has three kingdoms, if I remember correctly. So it's a three kingdoms vibe. Maybe we finally get the crossover event that Neil's always dreamed for. Which is Fire Emblem and Destiny Warriors or whatever, Dynasty Warriors.
I don't know how I feel about that. I think the specific title is actually Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Three Houses, yeah. Three Kingdoms, Three Houses. I mean, they're places to live, nonetheless. It's just scope. And then finally, yeah, I already said Sekiro, so that's it. Those are the things I'm looking forward to. I already have everything I want for the year because I have Smash and I bought the Fighter DLC pack. I'm going to hunt around for some good game deals, but there's nothing too thrilling for me. The only thing that I really want is to find some solid deals on some games I haven't played yet. I'm interested in like Minute, and I talked about Gris or Gree not too long ago. Those are two that I'm trying to pick up.
That's on sale right now on the Switch.
I know. Which I think I'll probably get it and play it over the holiday break, which I guess is right now.
So I'll go next with my realistic hopes and dreams. The things that I realistic hope is just that Kingdom Hearts 3 is actually not a lie, and they'll actually come out in January. That would be my that's my only hope, really.
Well, the story's already out from what I've heard.
Did the script get leaked or something?
Yeah, it got leaked.
Oh, sad
from
day.
What I understand.
I'm gonna spoil you for it right now.
That's good, because I'm definitely probably not gonna beat it, and and unless the story is out in video format where I can actually just sit down and watch, and it's not 2 hours long, I probably won't read it either. So go for it, man.
And if you told me, I honestly wouldn't understand what you were saying. So we're spoiler proof at this point.
What about Cloud, Tidus, and Donald Duck and two cups? I don't know.
That's what? A bad joke.
That is a terrible joke.
Get out of here.
It's because it's true.
Then Ghost of Tsushima. That'd be nice if that was an actual thing for 2019.
Is that something you may anticipate finding at PAX?
Oh, shit. I hope so.
That could show up at PAX for sure. At least another trailer or some really rudimentary demo stuff.
Yeah, so those are kind of like my Christmas dreams.
Not really dreams, per se.
Not really. Just my Christmas wish list of things that actually exist. Because, you know, these are things that Sony showed us. So who knows when they actually will exist.
I don't think Sony's track record is all that bad for like dashing hopes and expectations. Like...
Exactly, which is why I asked for this for Christmas. Sony's real good at just being like, hey guys, Final Fantasy, we're doing it.
Well, no. So, okay. So they are not the ones saying Final Fantasy, because that's Square Enix.
Square Enix and Sony are just one and the same to me.
Despite the fact that like the last few Final Fantasy titles have shown up not only on PC, Xbox, PlayStation, or well, not only on PlayStation 4, but PC and Xbox.
That's Final fine. Fantasy was on Xbox?
Yeah, Final Fantasy 15 is on every...
Jeez, I am out of the loop.
In fact, they have some version of Final Fantasy 15 on Switch, I think.
I mean, Square Enix also did some really great like Nintendo games with the DS recently, mm-hmm. with their Bravely Default editions. And, oh my gosh, why can't I think of... Well, they also did Octopath Traveler. That's a...
I think they just published that. I think the developers of the... I could be wrong.
I don't know.
But I mean, yeah, the whole thing is like, I don't think Square Enix has ever been like truly attached to the hip to Sony, even during like the heyday of 7, 8, 9. They still had Crystal Chronicles on the GameCube GameCube?
Yeah, it was GameCube.
Yeah.
During that era as well.
Yeah, no, they haven't been... As you stated, like really joined at the hip, but they are just like my number one developer for Sony content.
I can get behind that.
And they've also lied to me before as well. So, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3, 15 years ago, 15 fucking years, pretty much. Seems like, I'm not sure. What is time? What do you want for Christmas, Neil?
Well, since I don't really have anything on the realistic side, so to speak, for games, for unrealistic hopes and expectations for the great Christmas spirit to bring us in the future, Deltarune comes out next year, or Chapter 2. Suikoden and 6 gets announced with the original composer and scenario writer, which is totally never happening because the original composer is a married housewife now and talks about like that past as being like, oh, that was cool back then. I'm glad
before
I did that.
Before I netted a man.
Yep, I'm glad I did that, but now my life has moved on. That Bloodstained Ritual of the Night is better than Symphony of the Night and, you know, all of the other Igavania games. I feel like that's going to be a pipe dream based on how well Mighty No. 9 was received. And I pray that Fire Emblem has a story that does not center around incest.
The biggest pipe dream out of that list. Is it going to stop me from buying the next installment? No, it will not. But it will still disgust me the whole time I play.
And then, like, since you're a glutton for pain, like, you have to go down the incest route to just see how bad it is. I can't believe we're doing this! Incest, button press. It's so bad!
It's it's a problem, but Camilla is best waifu.
That does it for my.
It's because I spoke truth. Everybody was quiet.
Oh, Camilla's this one, man. Scott,
Camilla is the worst best one, or the best worst one. She's a conundrum, truly.
But they're not really brother and sister, right? Because they got kidnapped.
No,
so it's
but
fine.
This is what makes it even. This is what makes it even more complex. Above all the other horrible. All the other context that is tied into this, she also is the character that has the most doting mother personality to her.
Perfect.
I know, which ties in even more complication to that already fraught and tenuous relationship.
So because the character is kidnapped and they're not actually blood related, but you basically were raised as family, it's you get the stepsister and stepmother vibes at the same time. It's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, I didn't realize Fire Emblem was that perverted.
It was actually built around Pornhub analytics, so...
Which is great, because once YouTube collapses under the weight of its own popularity, Pornhub is going to reign supreme.
And there's already going to be all of this Fire Emblem content rife for the picking.
See, I thought you were going to do a Tumblr thing there.
Tumblr's out, man. They've already been taken down.
Yep, taken down from the inside.
Also, I don't know if I've been to Tumblr in the past 5 years, so they may have already been down.
Nah, they recently announced they were getting rid of all mature content.
Yeah, I heard about
then
that.
Then quickly backpedaled after they found out
that their entire user base was going to evaporate.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're like, all that's left is Sylvia Plath poetry.
Oh, God.
Sorry, that was a niche joke, but...
I'm proud of you.
It still lands.
So, what's your Christmas miracle, Scott?
Oh, man. I have so many, so I'm going to move quickly. Okay, on the gaming end for follow-ups and sequels, I am desperate for a Bloodborne 2. If I could give my game of the year to the game that I most enjoyed this year, it would go to Bloodborne and the Old Hunters DLC, which I won't be able to do because I am a fan of rules, and that game was released ages ago. Hollow Knight 2, another game that made it onto my Hollow Knight made it onto my honorable mentions last year for Game of the Year. Another Hollow Knight or a spiritual successor by Team Cherry, either way would be phenomenal to me. I think the world of Hollow Knight is incredibly fleshed out. The art is beautiful. The story is wonderful. It is the most Dark Souls vibe that I got from a 2D game, but enjoyed for the gameplay and I don't know, just depth of world building just as much, if not more, than some of my other Dark Souls experiences. In the same vein, another sort of indie game that I'd love to see a continuation on or a spiritual successor to is Hyper Light Drifter. And if Arkane publishes something, or if Arkane develops something that is another first person style of combat stealth game that is not Prey, because Prey was okay and I enjoyed it, but it got stale before I was able to finish it. Meanwhile, the Dishonored games are a blast, and so something that is maybe closer to those, but the world of Dishonored I think has also been very well put together and fleshed out and doesn't necessarily need a continuation. It can probably be a happy memory of the past. And then into the real realm of complete out there wants and desires, Toby Fox actually gets his funding to make Deltarune 2 through 5 within a short period of time, because I really enjoyed the first chapter of Deltarune and cannot wait for more. And then I was thinking about games that I'd be very interested in after my experiences this year, and something that has a bit more, some sort of combination between the detailed interactions and intricacies of the world in Rimworld, plus the kind of story and fun writing of Fallout, would be truly the perfect game for me within this, I don't know, mood that I've been in and gaming recently. VR starts making glove controllers more of a norm. I don't think I'm going to be interested in VR until I can articulate my fingers and have that completely represented in a virtual space.
We're almost there.
I know, we're so close. It's already, like, I know that there's already a glove that has been developed or is in development, but I want
that to be
the thing, and we stop, like, using wands with, like, move four fingers with this button, move three fingers with this button, move the pointer finger with this button, grip the thumb with this button. Like,
have you seen the Oculus controller?
I don't like that setup. Am I ignorant to something?
It's more like, hey, you can point by releasing buttons now. Mm-hmm. So it's less you push the button to move a finger. It's more you're actually using your hand to grip the controller, and where your hand naturally rests, there happens to be a button to say, now your
hands
fingers
are closed. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense with me, but it's still buttons, I guess.
It's still buttons.
Yeah.
So yeah, but
remove
buttons
from VR, unless you're pushing a virtual button, then keep them in, because I don't know how else you'd have buttons. And then Smash characters that I want to see in the DLC that are long shots. Banjo-Kazooie would be sweet. Rayman is rife with opportunity. I am surprised that there is no Paper Mario yet in Smash. He would be an incredibly fun character. I would play him a lot more than I would play almost any of the other Mario characters. Impa would be an option that they could do if they want another Legend of Zelda character, especially seeing that Impa has recently been like retrofit with a sword in the last couple iterations of Legend of Zelda. They could get some like pseudo Fire Emblem or Ganon style like sword play with it, where she uses the sword distinctly for smashes but otherwise has a Sheik style kit. Or any Breath of the Wild character would be pretty interesting in this game. Skull Kid. I really just want more Zelda characters. But all I want for Christmas is a Waluigi. A Waluigi. Oh, a Waluigi.
In the jungle, the mighty jungle?
It's all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth.
Yeah, I'm not sure where Neil got that in the jungle.
But I don't, yeah.
A Waluigi. Waluigi.
I didn't know how to make the rhythm work right.
Reminded me of that,
No, that makes sense.
Owology, 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 owology. Waluigi.
What is owology? What's that the study of?
The study of walls and Trump.
Was that
another
the end of
bad
your,
joke from Neil? Another real zinger.
Was that the end of your Balls to the Walls Christmas list?
That's it. That's all I got. And I feel like I was able to pack in a lot. So once again, I have proven that I am the most like greedy Christmas person in the room in any lineup.
Well, you might be greedy, but the things I want are a Cyberpunk 2077 2019 release date.
I forgot all about that.
And I want PlayStation to finally be truly backward compatible with their next iteration to say, because you know they're going to say eventually their PS5. I want that to be just an option to get. But the balls to the wall thing is I want PlayStation to do something like the Xbox Game Pass. That every day is looking more and more like a viable thing. I actually almost bought the Xbox Game Pass, and I don't even own Xbox.
You got to be careful with that. You do need to confirm that you have the hardware for anything that you buy.
Exactly. I was just like, I can play this, this, and this? How much do the Xbox Game Pass works on my PC? Not enough. Fuck. That was my list. Short
That's
list.
That's it. That's all we got.
Well, I think this is an appropriate time to wrap things up then.
Comments, cool. Questions, concerns, anything else that you feel like saying, go ahead and send us an email at podcast@fancyramen.com.
Also, send us your crazy Christmas wish list and also your Game of the Year list. We'll read some of those.
That would be phenomenal, yeah.
Probably all of those.
Consider it.
Yeah. Don't forget to tell friends about the Fancy Ramen podcast. That's how we are trying to continue to grow. I'm pretty sure we've got listeners, maybe.
Oh, we do.
Sweet. At least two.
They just don't write in, apparently.
That's fine.
do you count me in that two listener group? Because Sierra was nagging me the other day for listening to my own podcast.
That's a little narcissistic.
Why is that narcissistic?
It's a little narcissistic.
But I also like to do it for, like, I don't know, self-editing, I guess. It helps me become a better host for you, the listener.
Well, I'll tell you this, Scott. I don't think it's narcissistic. You want to know why I don't think it's narcissistic?
Because you also do it.
No, I don't listen to this podcast. It's way too long.
Damn.
Because, just think about it this way. If you worked at Subway and you made sandwiches for a living,
would you eat your own sandwich?
Does that mean you go home and just never make a sandwich, the most convenient fucking snack to make? Or is making a sandwich because you work at Subway narcissistic?
I think making a sandwich at Subway in general is in bad taste.
Well, unfortunately, people gotta eat, Neil.
Bam! Fancy ramen. I'm Neil.
I'm Cookie.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. I'm Scott.
Like us on Facebook. No, wait. Instagram? No. Shit. Fuck.